Today we're going to be talking to Captain Dale Eddy from the Altoa Marine Corps Air Station. This is Marine Staff Sergeant Bob Vandy Walker. And today I'm going to be talking to Captain Dale Eddy, a wounded helicopter pilot that returned from Vietnam in the summer of 1965. Captain Eddy, could you sort of fill me in on your tour of duty in Vietnam, what squadron you were with over there, and what your job was?
Right, I was an HMM 163, medium helicopter squadron. We were flying out of Da Nang, support missions supporting the Republic of Vietnam. Most of our missions consisted of resupply, where we flew basically rice and bullets to the outposts in the vicinity of Da Nang, in the I Corps area.
Now, what month are we talking about now, approximately the time? What time were you in Vietnam?
Right, I was there from February through the last day of March. We were...
Of 65, right?
Right.
Now, one particular day we're going to be talking here that you were involved being shot down, I think. Maybe you can tell the story a little bit more of exactly possibly what happened.
Right. We weren't shot down, though, and what had happened, we were taking what was listed as a strike mission into an outpost, well, actually a landing zone south and east of, south and west of Da Nang, about 40 miles. We were picking up Republic of Vietnam troops and hauling them into a zone that was considered loaded with Viet Cong. And on the first two trips in, we were doing okay. There was a little bit of shooting going on, but on the third trip into the landing zone is when I was injured.
In other words, small arm fires actually got at your aircraft, or had you already landed when this happened?
We were on the ground when I was hit. It was small arms for the most part. Nothing heavy, of course. We didn't even have 50 caliber out there.
What happened? And the Viet Cong let you land, and then they sort of snuck up on you? Is this what happened from an area?
Yeah, that's about what happened. Of course, we already had a lot of friendlies in the area, and we weren't too sure, just flying overhead looking down, as to exactly who was who. You could see people in the zone, but you weren't sure that they were friendly or the enemy. So we landed in the vicinity of the Viet Cong, and they shot us as we were sitting in the zone.
In other words, you had Vietnamese troops with you, and then you let them out of the aircraft.
Yes.
And then these Viet Cong started firing at you.
Right. They fired at us just about the time we touched down, and that's when I was hit.
What was your job at the time?
I was the aircraft commander.
And who were the other members of your crew?
There was Sergeant Owens and Sergeant Garner, who were my crew chief and my gunner, and then the co-pilot was Lieutenant Magel.
After you had sat down, did you start to take off and these people started shooting at you? Exactly what happened then?
Well, while we were unloading our troops, I, of course, was panning the area, and I saw, 30 yards out there, three Viet Cong standing behind what looked like an adobe or a brick wall of some nature. And I was getting ready to call it out to my gunner on the right side, but they hit me before I could call it out.
And you were wounded at the time?
Yes, uh-huh.
I understand that Sergeant Garner helped get these people out of the way or kill these people. Can you explain that?
Yes. The first burst hit Sergeant Garner in the leg and myself in the neck. And while we were in the zone there to be evacuated, Sergeant Garner got out of the aircraft and set his machine gun up on a rice dike nearby and shot up the VC 30 yards away. This was a great deal of an aid in our rescue because this made it possible for other aircraft to get into the vicinity to pick us out.
I understand that Sergeant Garner was also awarded a citation for this.
Yes, he got the Silver Star.
Now, there were other Marine helicopters in the area, was there?
Yes, this was a strike mission, and we were working in waves where three aircraft flying together would land and closely followed by three more, so there was a considerable number of aircraft in the area. Plus, we had a few Army Hueys with us. They had the rocket pods on them. They were flying cover for us.
Do you remember what happened after you got wounded, or were you sort of in a state of shock where you don't remember, or can you sort of fill me in? The other helicopter landed and sort of rescued you fellas, didn't they?
Yes. I wasn't unconscious. I was paralyzed, and consequently, I was immobile. But I was very conscious. I could, see a certain limited amount, and no real pain associated with my injury. But I could sense the activity going on. I could hear the bullets battering the aircraft and the guns firing.
Was Sergeant Garner and Sergeant Owen both wounded, or just Sergeant?
Yes, Sergeant Garner and Sergeant Owens.
Now, they evacuated you out of the area. Where did they take you then?
They took me to the field hospital there at Da Nang, which the Navy set up for us. They're part of the 9th Expeditionary Brigade.
Now, we're talking back in early 65, where this was sort of a new hospital and everything. This was not...
Yes, this was, we were supposed to have been the first patients in the hospital. I'm not real sure about this, but it was the story. It was a brand new hospital.
Well, how long did you stay in Da Nang? Did you go further
right,
back?
Right. They, since it was such a new hospital there, they didn't have the facilities unwrapped, apparently, to operate on us immediately, and they moved us across the field, or myself, I'm sorry, the rest of them they worked on there, but myself, they moved me across the field to an Arvin hospital, which was... set up more permanently, and this is where I had the initial operation. After that, I was moved to Nha Trang, to the 8th Army Hospital down there.
And getting sort of ahead of my story and going back to what happened, after Sergeant Garner had sort of killed these other Viet Congs, I understand there was another sergeant involved that helped you get out of the aircraft.
Yes, I owe him a great debt. This was Staff Sergeant Novotny, who got out of... another aircraft that landed in the zone came over and pulled me out of the aircraft. He was a big man, and I guess this facilitated his efforts in pulling me out, because it was kind of an unhandy position to be in at the time, and I was immobilized totally. I couldn't help myself.
Now, Sergeant Garner and yourself had been stationed here at El Toro, or some we should say at the air facility, before you went overseas.
Yes, the squadron was formed at the air facility, and then we went over as a rotating squadron in December of 1964.
So your families are living in Orange County at the time?
Yes, my wife is. My folks are back in the East, and she remained right here in Orange County. And
do you know if Sergeant Garner lived here in Santa Ana also?
Yes, he's in Santa Ana too.
Is Sergeant Garner in your squadron now also?
No, he's in HMH 462, which is here at the air facility, though.
So he also is in Orange County again.
Yes,
living here. Now, how long have you sort of been under hospital care since this particular incident?
Right. We were in the hospital, in and out of the hospital for about 5 to 7 months. It depended more on the individual. I got out in August.
Sort of an outpatient bit, huh?
Yes, in and out.
Do you feel that... being in a hospital so long and being away from flying these helicopters, is there a program that you must go through to go back and retrain again in flying helicopters or any type of aircraft?
Yes, I'm being retrained in the H-46, which is a new helicopter produced by Boeing Vertol Company. And it's considerably larger than the previous helicopter. And I'll be flying this one now, I believe.
Captain Eddie, did you receive any type of award when you were in Vietnam?
Yes, I flew 60 combat missions, which rated me for 3 air medals, plus my Purple Heart, and the Expeditionary, the American Expeditionary Medal.
How are these air medals set up as far as going out on combat flights and so forth? How does the average crew member and pilots work on this?
Right, we get on 20 missions as your basis for an air medal. Now then, some missions... like the strike mission. Now, then this is more of a hazard involved, so you get 2 missions for this. You can count that as 2 missions. A resupply mission where we would carry our beans and bullets, so to speak, out to the various outposts. This would be classified most often as a 1 mission hop.
Do you feel our job in Vietnam is a necessary job for the people that are there in Vietnam to help in the system?
I firmly believe it. I really do. It's kind of an unfortunate thing to have to go to war, but it bothers me to see the support the American people are giving our troops right now. I'd like to go into this a little broader. First of all, I think that I firmly believe in the domino theory. Now, then, the domino theory is basically if Vietnam falls, somebody else will fall, and then somebody else will fall, and consequently we'll be pushed up to the Golden Gate Bridge with these oppressing nations right at our door. So I have to go along with the idea that we've got to make a stand someplace, and I'm only sorry that we're waiting until 1965 really to make our stand. We could have made our stand some time back, I think.
Well, I think we're fortunate that only a few American people are in this category that we're talking about that are sort of against all this.
Yeah, I think that this is getting a big play through the press, and really there's you hear about it all the time, the people who are really supporting it.
As an officer and everything, do you feel that the morale of the troops over there while you were there was real good?
Oh, yeah, it was real great. People knew they were doing a job. This is something that affects a professional military person more than it would affect the civilian, I'm sure. But a professional military man is trained to do his job, and when he's given an opportunity to do his job, he's kind of gets a personal satisfaction out of doing it, much the same that I'm sure that an accountant gets out of his job, or any other professional person gets when he does a job. Well, the professional military man gets tired of training and not really doing his job.
Do you feel also that there's a great team effort over there with all branches of the service involved?
Yes, definitely. It was quite an experience. Back here in the States, there's always some sort of rivalry between the various military organizations. But down there, well, the Air Force would come over to our side of the field and bum good ideas that we had, and consequently we would go over to the other side of the field and bum good ideas that they had. And this was so typical. The Army Huey pilots were with us on most of our missions, practically all of our missions. Those guys were really great. We just set the clock on them. They were really fine.
I guess with this team effort, we can do nothing but win there.
Well, I have the greatest confidence that we will.
Captain Eddie, where's your hometown originally at?
I'm from Columbus, Indiana. It's a small town south of Indianapolis.
And your folks live there?
Yes.
What is your folks' name? Where do they live
there? They're Mr. and Mrs. Edward Eddie, and 62 South Mapleton Street.
And how long have you been in the Marine Corps now?
I'm going over 5 this month.
When did you originally get your wings out? Did you go to college, did you?
Yes, I went to Evansville College. This is down in the southwest corner of the state of Indiana. And after that, I applied for and was accepted in the officer's candidate program.
Did you start out as a helicopter pilot? I know many helicopter pilots have flown jets first. Did you credit a helicopter?
No, I flew the standard syllabus down in Pensacola, and then I elected to fly helicopters, and was trained in helicopters at Pensacola before I came to the West Coast.
But many of our Marine pilots do fly both, or can
fly
both.
Yes, that's true. In fact, the greater percentage of our squadron were all former jet pilots.
In this particular Vietnam War, I know you summed up some of it. Can you sort of sum up again, finale to our conversation here, what you might say to the American people in regards to this Vietnam War?
Well, I don't have a whole lot to say there, but I think that if we would show the troops that we're in support of the whole thing that's happening down there, and give the government our support on this situation, I think that we can really iron out the problem there. The problem's going to last for quite a while, probably, because it's hard to tell the communist peasant from the peasant who is faithful to his government. But consequently, and if we keep doing these, I like to call them good deeds for the people down there, the things that you're hearing about on radio and television and through the newspapers, if we keep doing this and keep giving these people the type of aid that this government with its economic powers is able to give, definitely we're going to come out on top.
In other words, the kindness and understanding war is as important as a bullet war down there.
Oh, yes, and it's being waged just about every day. There's the hospital corpsmen and the doctors are on the scene, always tending to the Vietnamese, their illnesses. These people are they're not familiar with health problems that we're familiar with. They drink water out of streams. They don't know what a well is hardly, and consequently they get all sorts of illnesses right from their drinking water. And we're capable, and our Marines are down there. They dig wells, and they show these people how much better water tastes out of a well, for instance. And over a period of time, we're going to show them a little bit better way of life, and that's all we want to do.
I understand some of those people have not seen a doctor in 60 and 70 years.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me. Some of them are really, really pathetic looking. Just the health conditions that exist there are pretty bad.
When you start thinking a person go through a whole lifetime of 60 years and not see a doctor, this is seems to be unheard of in our modern day living. Well, Captain Eddie, I want to thank you very much for talking with me today, and I certainly want to wish you an awful lot of luck in your future endeavors in the Marine Corps.
Well, thank you very much.